As some of you may know, I got married almost 2 months ago now. Right here. A lot of work and detailed planning and preparation goes into a wedding. A lot of work and detailed planning and preparation that I didn't have much to do with. I was in Saginaw, almost 10 hours away from my to-be wife for the 6 weeks before our wedding. And one thing I really didn't have anything to do with was the wedding invitations. See, my wife is a graphic designer, and her job is to design wedding invitations. So, as you can imagine, I had nothing to do with it. The one thing I did do was I had to call everybody after they didn't respond by the due date on the RSVP. So when people didn't respond in time, I had to see if they were coming to the wedding or not. I heard a lot of reasons why people couldn't come. Some were good and some were not so good. I wanted everybody to come, but if they couldn't make it, it wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't a matter of life or death. Our text for this morning is a parable that Jesus told us about, a parable about a wedding invitation. This invitation is much more important than the invitation to my wedding, any earthly wedding. It's an invitation of salvation, an invitation that is a matter of life and death. So let's read about it from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again he said to other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who are invited are not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." Now before we get into the parable too much, I want to introduce all the characters to you that Jesus was speaking about. In this context. He was speaking to the chief priests and the Pharisees who had confronted him, and he was telling them this parable to tell them about how they had rejected him, Jesus, the Messiah. So the king in the story would be God the Father. The king's son would, of course, be God the Father's son, Jesus Christ. The wedding hall that they're invited to would be the earthly church, the church we can see with our eyes. Those who are invited to the hall, those who are first invited would be the Israelites, the Jewish nation, the people who rejected Jesus, who rejected that invitation. That would make the people, the servants that the king sent out, that would make them the prophets, the evangelists, the apostles, the people who told the Jewish nation about Jesus. And that would make the second group who are invited the Gentiles, you and me, everyone else who is invited to the Christian church. So those people who rejected the invitation, who killed the servants, who were they? The Israelites. And we see that as a theme throughout the Old Testament, how that God would bring his people to himself and they would reject God. Again and again, they fell away from God. You can look at it from even all the way back to the time of Moses when he was leading the children during the wandering in the wilderness, or during the time of the judges or the kings, and all the way to the Babylonian captivity. Again and again, people fell away from God. God attested to himself this to himself when he said by the prophet Jeremiah, "I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, 'Turn now, everyone, from his evil way. Amend your doings and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear, nor obeyed me.'" And the theme continued all the way into Jesus' day, except at this point, the Jewish nation was worshiping a different form of idolatry. See, they thought, along with the Pharisees, that they could save themselves by following the Mosaic law. They thought they could save themselves by following laws that they made up. They placed themselves and their own works above God and his works. They were worshiping themselves. In the very next chapter of Matthew, Jesus cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chick under her wing, but you were not willing." The people rejected Jesus. There's no doubt, as a whole, the nation of Israel rejected the prophesied Messiah. They rejected the prophesied seed of the woman, the prophesied chief cornerstone, the prophesied good shepherd. There's a very distinct contrast, I think, between these two reactions. The Israelites rejected it, but how often in our day do we see the other way? And Jesus mentions it too. He said, but they made light of it. This is the other reaction that those servants got. They made light of it. They made fun of it. Has anyone ever made fun of you for your faith? How many of you haven't felt your cheeks turn red from embarrassment when someone asks you why you go to Emmanuel? Why do you go to school all the way in Eau Claire when your parents live here? Much less someone outright making fun of us. We're told to expect this, though. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. There is good news in this parable as well. Look at who this invitation goes out to. Although it's at first rejected by the Jews, it's then sent out to all people, everyone the servants could find. Look at the universality of this invitation. The king said, therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, everybody, invite to the wedding. This salvation invitation is for all people. Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This invitation is for you, it's for me, it's for the entire world. We call this universal grace, God's undeserved love for all of mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God desired all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sometimes these doubts can creep into our mind, though, don't they? Sometimes we think, I'm more like those people who first rejected the gospel. I failed to value that great gift of salvation for what it's worth. I failed to learn and grow as much as I could in my faith. We think, God, I'm not worthy of this invitation. I'm not good enough on my own. This parable answers those doubts, though. The king said of those who rejected him, he said that they were not worthy. But did he ever say that those who were invited second were worthy? Look at what Jesus said. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all who they found, both bad and good. Both bad and good. From an earthly point of view, everyone was invited, both the bad people and the good people. No matter how unworthy you may think you are, no matter how bad or awful you think your sins may be, when God looks on you, he doesn't see you. He doesn't see how you treated the gospel with indifference, how you acted like a hypocrite. He doesn't see the filth of your sin. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus' perfection in life. When Jesus crafted the robes of righteousness that we will wear in the banquet hall of heaven someday, he sees Jesus' sacrifice, how Jesus took away all the robes of our own robes of rottenness off of us. And he sees Jesus' resurrection, the resurrection that assures us that someday we too will be invited to that heavenly banquet with the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, who will be wedded forever to his bride, his Christian church, you and me. The salvation invitation. Many reject it, but God sends it out to all people, to everyone. Jesus concludes this section by saying, I forgot. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's how he ends the section. Many are called, but few are chosen. We are that few chosen. We can know that by faith. That God chose you and he chose me from eternity. What an amazing blessing that is. And may these verses from Isaiah really firm that belief in your faith, that you are the elect child of God. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. We'll conclude this morning by singing verses 1 and 4 of 324. 1 and 4.